This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you can't handle the truth. Good evening from Boston, Massachusetts. My name is Frank Allen. You can call in and ask a question at 800-313-9443, or you can listen at 605-313-0163. You can receive a copy of our newsletter simply by writing Frank at targetedmassachusetts.org. In the subject line, type newsletter, or visit our site at targetedmassachusetts.org. And in the navigation, go to contact information. When completed, click submit or call me in the U.S. at 1-508-857-8334. Tonight, our very special guest, Kevin Annette, fighting his 25-year fight to expose homegrown genocide and how its awful truth was surfaced and buried again in his country of Canada. Kevin, you with us?
I am. Hi, Frank.
Hi, how you doing?
Just fine. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. How do you want to do this? You want to just take the ball?
I could give a bit of a history for folks they might not know.
Okay, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, about 25 years ago, I was an ordained minister in the United Church. That's the largest Protestant denomination in Canada. And my young family and I had moved out to the West Coast to Canada, a little town called Port Alberni, which is a lumber town. And it was really the heart of the last kind of missionary push in Canada in the late 19th century. And I began to work in a really heavily populated Aboriginal area. About half the people in town were Native. And I noticed there weren't any Natives sitting in the churches on Sunday morning. It was fairly segregated. And I began to ask around, and people were really nervous about talking about the Indians. So it kind of got me wondering. And I opened a food bank, and I was taking food out to some of the local reservations. And I first house I went into, I asked the question to a Native man why there weren't any Indians in any of the churches in town. And he didn't say anything for a while. Looked kind of nervous himself. And then finally he said, they killed my best friend in that Indian boarding school. And he's buried in the hill out back. And they all know it, and they don't want us in their churches, right? And this was something that happened decades before, and yet people were still loath to talk about it. And literally every Native home I went into after that, I was hearing these stories. That would have been in the spring of 1993. So, you know, a long time ago, over 25 years now. And I had been hired to bring my church up. It was a dying congregation. Within about 6 months, I had the place full, bringing a lot of new folks in. But some of the older folks in town were very nervous about what I was doing because they had been relatives with these people who had been running what's called the Indian residential schools. Now, it's all come out subsequently because of a lot of the work I did around it. The Canadian government recently admitted genocide, Prime Minister Trudeau. But what he's not saying about that is that it was a plan for over a century by both church and state. We're talking the Catholic Church, Church of England, the United Church that I used to be in. They had a plan which basically wiped out half the children in these Indian schools because they were really internment camps. And they were using germ warfare, everything described as genocide under international law. Over 50,000 of these kids never came back. After I began to surface this stuff and letting people speak from my pulpit who had survived these crimes, I got fired, thrown out of the church without any kind of due process. They even went to my wife at the time and helped to pay for a divorce if she'd leave me, which she did. I lost custody of my kids. I couldn't work. I've been on kind of a permanent blacklist, even though a lot of the stuff I've proven has been admitted by the government, you know, over the last few years. So a lot of this evidence people can read for themselves. It's murderbydecree.com. It's really well documented. And, I mean, I think one of the reasons that they're so loath to admit this stuff is because in many ways it's still carrying on. In British Columbia, you know, there's been a lot of stuff that's come out recently about the role of the Chinese government buying up a lot of the resources, the land. They're driving Native people off their land, responsible for a lot of disappearances that are still going on. So these are not crimes of the past. It's ongoing.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. And one of my friends from Canada that's on our show brought it to my attention. And when I started reading your story, I could not believe it. And to have something like this be buried for so long, it's just incredible.
Well, I know, and it's partly the culture in Canada, you know. Like, I often say to folks, I'm half American, my dad's from New Jersey, and whenever I speak in America, I get a much better response because people in the States aren't as worried about taking on the government. I mean, there's a tradition of that, right? But in Canada, we got that old British tradition where you're not supposed to challenge authority. It's seen as an act of treason or disloyalty, especially if you're criticizing the churches. And there was never any separation of church and state in Canada. It was all one. Like these Indian schools where so many kids died, they were run jointly by the government and by the churches. And they covered for each other. I mean, the documents I've shown where the children are being deliberately killed, they would take the healthy children, lock them in the same dorm as kids who were dying of tuberculosis and smallpox, and then never treat them. They did that decade after decade to try to wipe these kids out, and not one person's ever gone to trial in Canada for any of that. So it's the usual kind of whitewash, but, you know, it's when in Canada, when you take on the powers that be, you're treated like a leper, a pariah, you know, and you're just, I've been, like I said, blacklisted and marginalized for years now.
Well, it's looking that way too, here in the U.S., you're not treated with kid gloves when you start poking at the government. Our government is becoming more less and less transparent by the day. So I think that we will have caught up to you in no time, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, that's true. Like, I go to, I've been all over Europe doing this work. When I got pretty much shut out in Canada, the government issued this kind of fake apology in 2008 for the residential schools because of the work I'd started. We built a whole movement across Canada to confront, expose this stuff. I got invited to Europe in 2010. We set up a tribunal to look into crimes of church and state. The stories I've heard are identical. For example, in Ireland, the Catholic orphanages there where kids were being killed en masse, used experimentally in drug testing things. You know, you get these same crimes all over the place and the same kind of cover-up. And that's why we're, you know, a lot of the work I do now is trying to show people that under common law they have the right to convene their own trials, their own courts, make the citizen arrest. You know, you can't rely on the government to do the things that we need to be doing to protect our own children in our communities.
Right, and what I should bring up at this point, and I think that I will, and that's MK Ultra, which surfaced in Canada.
Right.
And I believe it was Dr. Cameron at the Allen Institute, and I believe there were a number of people that went to court on that, and they did have settlements. So that is proof in itself for us that it did exist there, and we know that it exists here.
That's right. Your MKUltra actually used Canada, not just in terms of the experiments, but a lot of the Nazi doctors from Europe after the war, they were brought in under Project Paperclip through Canada, given fake identities, and the Allen Institute was one of them. There was about a dozen hospitals across Canada where they were doing the MKUltra experiments, and they were using a lot of these Indian kids out of the residential schools, what they called Indian hospitals, where kids were experimented on all the time, sterilized, all this stuff. And this, again, very concealed. The government sealed all the records of that in 1999 when we held our first tribunal into these crimes. There's no recourse in Canada. It's all very state-controlled, all these different agencies. So I had to go outside Canada to get the story surfaced at all, really.
Well, that's the only way to do it. If you have one mindset in your country, the only way that you can bring it about is to go to another country. And this is going to travel, I will tell you, between Catherine Horton's video and here on RBN. This is going to travel like wildfire, and I'm going to see that it does.
Well, thank you, Frank. It's important for all of us because, I often say, when I first encountered this, I've worked with a lot of people, both as a minister and a counselor, but then eventually as, an activist in this movement. I've worked with hundreds, probably thousands of survivors of these experiments and these crimes, and it's like listening to the same story over and over. And part of the thing I realized is that they were using Native kids as kind of like the canary in the mine shaft. They were using them in these experiments, but then they used these methods on all of us, these techniques. Catherine Horton has talked about, directed energy weapons, the microchip implants. They were using kids back in the 50s and 60s in those experiments to test those things out. And so I often say to people, like, we're all living on the Indian reservation now, you couldn't leave a reservation without a special pass. Still to this day in Canada, there's a thing called the Indian Act, which means you're not a citizen when you live on reservation. You're what's called a ward of the state, like a child or a mentally incompetent person. You can't even open a bank account without the permission of the government in Ottawa if you live on a reservation. You can't refuse medical treatment. So when they're testing out during the so-called swine flu thing, when the big pharma was pushing their vaccines on everyone, they went to Indian reservations and tried out the drugs first on them. And they couldn't refuse under the law. They'd go to jail. I mean, that's like what they're doing now with forced vaccination.
Okay, we're going through an era now in the United States where they're trying to force vaccination.
Yep.
And we already know that there's contaminants in the vaccinations. We already know that there's possibly nanomaterial in the vaccinations. It's terrible. What used to be a country that had just been freed from the crown, we are now under our own thumb, if you can wrap your head around that. But it's terrible. It really is. I watched this country change just in my lifetime.
Yep.
So I fear for the children and the grandchildren.
Well, that's really exactly it. And it's why, like I found in this work I do, it really crosses all the political and religious boundaries. I say to people, there's got to be a thing that unites us now as human beings, the defense of our liberties and our children, right? I mean, if we don't defend our children, we don't have a future. That's the reality of it.
Can you explain to me a little bit about what the Chinese are doing in your country?
They are, they've been big investors in the resources. There, literally, if you go through northern Canada, you'll see Chinese operations everywhere to get the uranium, the oil. British Columbia has about a quarter of all of the fresh running water in North America, the river systems, and that's being bought up by the Chinese. Traditionally, American companies own that. They're being taken over by the Chinese. Now, the Canadian government's aiding and abetting that. The same Prime Minister Trudeau, who said genocide was committed, admitted that. He brought in a thing called the Foreign Investment Protection Act last year, which allows the Chinese government to station its own troops on Canadian soil to guard their investments. He removed all limits on Chinese investment in Canada. So he's definitely aiding this takeover. And, you know, it's we know from sources in northern British Columbia that they are, through the port of Prince Rupert on the Pacific coast, they're bringing in a lot of Chinese colonists off the radar. They're just settling whole areas. And that's why a lot of the native families are going missing. They're terrorizing them off the land. So we're documenting all this. The thing is, people on the ground to go in there to try and investigate this. Sometimes they vanish. Sometimes they get threatened. They get arrested. We had a guy on I do a blog radio show on Sundays called Here We Stand. And I had a guy, Merv Ritchie, he was a journalist in northern BC. He tried looking into this stuff, and he got thrown in jail for 6 months by the RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, on trumped-up charges. So it's, like you say, it's like government and their big money friends, they're at war with us. They're waging a war against us. And I think people are waking up to this finally, you know.
Yes, and another issue that comes up is 5G, which is fifth generation. Some people get it confused. They think it's 5 gigahertz. But how does Canada view the fifth generation?
Well, you see that being pushed in a big way by the government. You know, it's really crazy. This Canadian government is bending over backwards to push that whole agenda. I mean, I remember just last year, Prime Minister Trudeau, they raised the multicolored lesbian, gay, bisexual flag. They actually raised it on Parliament Hill as an official flag next to the Canadian flag. And, you know, it's this whole genocide's being described as, well, how to wipe out a people. You wipe out the family, you destroy the mother-child bond, you destroy any people's sense of their own identity. And that's exactly what's going on. I see it everywhere now. So I think it's part of that bigger global corporate agenda to do that, right?
Yeah, it seems to be. Some countries have actually opted out of 5G, but you can't really opt out of it because you're being bombarded with the signals all the time anyway. But right. I don't want to take you off your subject, and uh-huh. I'd really love to hear more about Canada and this homegrown genocide.
Well, you know, it's in a way it's no different than what happened all over the world. But there was something very unique in Canada, and that was it was a war waged against children. In Canada, going back to the time of when the Indian Act was brought in the 1880s, it was said that if you were a native child, they brought in a special law that said you had to be in one of these internment camps they call residential schools. And if you didn't, your parents would go to jail indefinitely. When I started this work back in the 90s, you know, I began as a minister trying to find a way to help people, and I found that none of them wanted to talk about it because they knew they would get silenced if they did, not even by the police, but by their own chiefs who had made deals, you know, with the government. And they were getting threatened on the reserve. We had to find a way to create a space where people could talk. When they began to talk, we heard these incredible stories. I mean, here's an example. It was standard practice. The RCMP would go into an area, gather up every child. They had the right to grab a kid if they were 7 years or older, but they would often clean out every child in a village, even the babies, just grab them all.
Okay, Kevin, we're coming up on a commercial.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
We are coming live from Public Broadcasting Network, where you can handle the truth. Good evening from Boston, Massachusetts. My name is Frank Allen. Our special guest tonight is Kevin Annette, telling his tragic story, Where Did the Children Go? You can call in and comment or ask a question. 800-313-9443, or you can listen at 605-313-0163. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, I was just talking before the break about how the Mounties, RCMP, and the police would, and often the missionaries would, descend on Indian villages, clear out all the children, bring them in en masse to these places where they were never fed, these unheated buildings. Let me list some of the offenses that we documented. And this is taken from hundreds of eyewitnesses, survivors, and confirmed by a lot of documents. You can find this at murderbydecree.com. Routine sexual assault, beating, starvation, rape, imprisonment, poisoning, medical experimentation, electric shock treatment, deliberate denial of food and water for days on end, denial of clothing, bedding, and warm clothing. routine physical and emotional torture, such as sticking needles through the tongues, ears, and penises, holding victims over open graves or burying them alive, telling victims their parents were dead and isolating them from all outside contact, involuntary sexual sterilization of victims, drug testing, intrusive surgery, removal of organs. I mean, it goes on and on. And for years, we published these things. The Canadian media not only blacked it out, we'd never report on it, but the government and the churches that did these crimes, right up until the year 1996, they were doing them. They issued their own false reports. They said, well, some sexual and physical assaults had happened, and, you know, we've issued some compensation money and apologies, and that was it. Those were the only words ever allowed in the Canadian media about this genocide, physical and sexual abuse. Now, you know, the word abuse, it's a pretty mild term. It was deliberately used that way to make people think, well, these, you know, like I was abused when I was a kid, I got hit a bit, what's the big issue here, right? It was designed deliberately to soften the whole reality of the genocide. And even today, even when the Prime Minister uses the word, he never talks about the details, the reality, who is responsible. You know, under international law, when you admit genocide, that has to be prosecuted and punished. And yet, not like I mentioned, not one person's ever been brought to trial. In fact, not only that, but anyone who tries to bring out the truth gets put through what I went through for 25 years and basically targeted and continue to be marginalized, even though what I've documented has all been proven true and even admitted to. So, you know, when the people who did the crime are still in power, this is what you face. And it's part of this whole ongoing struggle, really, that, you know, it, on many fronts when we're taking on these powers.
Huh. I'd like to share something. My brother is deacon of the Protestant church. And his house is always full of homeless children. He's always helped all the way back, as far back as I can remember. But to hear just the opposite, I'm hearing I'll tell you the truth. What I'm hearing is MK Ultra, and they have targeted the indigenous population of your country. And I cannot, the words cannot express what you are saying, other than the fact that we have to dig deeper and see how high it goes.
Well, exactly. And, you know, when I first encountered this stuff, I realized that there was a much darker agenda at work. And it wasn't simply, well, we wanted to grab their land. I mean, it doesn't explain the degree of this barbarity going on. And so it definitely had a lot of military backing. There was, in these Indian hospitals, there were military doctors operating all the time doing these experiments. One thing we know is in the Indian hospitals, there was one near where I used to live on Vancouver Island called the Nanaimo Indian Hospital. We know from records and also eyewitnesses that NASA in the 1960s was using Indian kids in their experimental programs. For example, a woman, Esther Morris, told me that she was, as a young girl, her parents were told she had tuberculosis, even though she didn't. She was incarcerated in that hospital for 8 years, and during that time, they had her constrained in a special room where she was bent over all the time and couldn't move, and they were testing how the muscles would atrophy. Turns out these doctors were working for NASA. They needed guinea pigs to see what the effect of a body on the human body, prolonged confinement, would be, right? That kind of thing. So, yeah, there was. It's interesting because when Esther tried to access her medical records, back in 2006, she was told by the Canadian government she couldn't because it was a matter of national security. Well, you know, that can be justified to cover up anything, right?
Okay, we're coming up on another commercial. Thanks, Jeff.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
We are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you can handle the truth. Good evening from Boston, Massachusetts. My name is Frank Allen. In case you've just tuned in, we have Kevin Annette fighting his 25-year fight to expose homegrown genocide in Canada. And we have just been speaking about the similarities with MK Ultra and what is happening in his country. Experimentation of every kind. I wondered how NASA got its statistics so accurately. Well, this is why. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, I was describing earlier one of the witnesses who I interviewed and came to know, a Native woman called Esther Morris, described how she was used in confinement experiments where she was constrained by people who turned out to work for NASA, the NASA scientists. Now, they had an agreement with the Canadian and U.S. military, and this happened in America as well. There was I think it's called Chamberlain, South Dakota, there was actually a Indian school that's still open. I believe it's run by the Jesuits. and they were farming out children for drug testing experiments. There's a pharmaceutical company in America, Eli Lilly, and they've been a big funder of the theological schools, the seminaries all over America for many years. And they have an agreement with the major churches that they would get children from them, from their orphanages, from their schools, for their drug testing protocols. This has gone on for decades. And the churches are the best cover for these crimes because they're tax-exempt. They're people, at least, well, in recent years, these, you know, scandals have come out about the child abuse and child trafficking. But before that, they were considered to be, you know, revered moral institutions. So they're perfect cover for these things. And so, yeah, this has gone on for many years, many decades. And, you know, it's part of this kind of ongoing crime very much.
Kevin, how can we help you? What's the biggest thing we can do to help you get the word out? I know that flyers are effective, but I think this should go mainstream, and I'm going to try and see if I can present it to Channel 5 in Boston. Would you be up for an interview if we could do that?
Actually, New England, I get a great response because there's a lot of people who've come forward recently about these kinds of scandals within the different churches. And one of the difficulties is when you go mainstream, there's been an amazing misinformation campaign around us and the work we're doing for many years, started by the RCMP in Canada and the churches. But, you know, so you run into that on the Internet when my name comes up. But what we find over time is a smear campaign's tends to backfire because people say, well, why are they still going on about this guy after so many years? Unless there's some, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, right? So you're right, though. It needs to get out in the mainstream, especially now that these things are coming out more. An example of what we're facing, though, is within all the churches, there's kind of a standing policy that when children are raped today or harmed in any way, the police are not to be told. In the Catholic Church, it's actually a standing policy called crimen solicitanus that says you're excommunicated if you tell a cop that a child's been raped. It's supposed to be kept in-house, and everyone is silenced. Well, that's really a criminal conspiracy under the law, and it's formally stated in the Catholic Church, but all the churches do it. That's what we found. They're all colluding in this thing, right? So in order to do that, you've got to say to people, well, you know, it's up to each person in those churches to say, no, we're not going to go along with that. We might even withhold our tithings on Sunday as long as you keep doing these crimes against children. So we actually, when I went to Europe and set up this tribunal in 2010, we actually convened a number of common law cases, court cases, that brought out this truth for the same time, over time. And that's the power when you say, what can you do to help? Yeah, get the information out into the mainstream. Get people to go to murderbydecree.com. But also think in your own neighborhood how you can keep an eye on these people who are harming children. You can write to me, thecommonland@gmail.com. I do a lot of speaking and training of folks in workshops how to set up common law courts on many issues. And that's really the best way to get... look at my books on Amazon. Put in the name Kevin Annett, A-N-N-E-T-T. I've written 16 books on this. I've written some manuals in common law training. I wrote a book on whistleblowers and what you can expect when you go up against these kinds of forces. So all of that is important, educating first and then taking action where you are.
Okay. I will do my best. I'd like to offer you... a page or two on our website, and we will put up whatever information that you choose, and the website is frequented. And also, I will give you a contact that I have at WCVB television in Boston. And I'd be more than happy.
That's great. Because we're sponsoring a tribunal in Canada on September 16th that's actually indicted the Prime Minister and top leaders for genocide, and we need to get maximum exposure on that because it's being completely blacked out of the media in Canada. So that's coming at a good time. Thank you.
Okay. And at the same time, the media has picked up billboards put out by Ella Free. And the media did comment on those. And there were some negative comments. But the positive comments that came out actually supported it. So it was negative publicity that actually was positive. To me, there's no such thing as negative publicity.
You're right. Yep, that's true.
Yeah, and we'll get the word out wherever we can. I'll pass it along to Ella. I will pass it along to everyone. And we'll get the word out for you, because it sounds like, to me, MK Ultra never stopped in Canada. Do you have MI5 and MI6 there? Or
that's
do you have something?
England. In Canada, it's the equivalent is the RCMP and then what they call the Canadian Security Intelligence Service. But they're, you know, they don't even have formal, you know how in America the CIA is under congressional oversight. That's not the case in Canada. The head of CSIS, Canadian Security Intelligence Service, they don't even have to make reports to Parliament. They're completely autonomous. They're answerable only to the Solicitor General in Ottawa. So they're like a secret society almost. And that's the kind of system you got set up in Canada. There's no real accountability.
The CIA in the U.S. doesn't answer to anyone.
Right. I know.
Congressional oversight
yeah.
was probably the intention. But today, the CIA runs independently of any and all oversight, if you were to look at it the way I'm looking at it.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. In practice, it's just a formality. But what I meant was, in Canada, the formality isn't even there. There isn't even any formal accountability of any kind. So, yeah, I mean, these agencies, like Catherine Horton often says, the global intel network, they operate as powers unto themselves. And so.
Yes, and in the U.S., we have child trafficking. We have kidnapping for the purpose of prostitution. This goes on like a third world country, and mm-hmm. it's got to be stopped. And the only way to stop it is what you're doing. And
We find the strength is in the community. It's where people have their power, and we try to organize at that level. It can get overwhelming, you know, in the age of the internet. You see all the bad news instantly, and it can get people discouraged. So we try to turn that around, you know, wherever we can.
I'd like to stay in close touch long after this broadcast and see what we can do to help each other, country to country, man to man, and get this exposed once and for all.
I'm actually on... I'm on a speaking tour again in the fall all over the U.S. and Canada, so I'm sure we could line up something in Boston.
That sounds fantastic.
Yep.
Just let me know when you want to do that.
I will.
Okay, I guess what I'm interested in is did this stop? It did not stop, or is it still going on, or they've got a lid on it, a tighter lid?
Well, it still goes on. One of the things that I document a lot is ongoing child trafficking, and we find that it's shifted. For example, it still goes on a lot of the Indian reservations. As a matter of fact, in America, the Gila Reservation, G-I-L-A, it's in the New Mexico, you've got the highest rate of disappearances of children there of anywhere in America. And because its reservations are kind of like semi-autonomous. They've got their own tribal police. Kids go missing all the time. We find a lot of the child trafficking now happens right through the government system of so-called child protection. And the foster care system where children go missing between and when they're being transferred from one home to another. It's a big global industry. You know, it's part of the human trafficking industry, and you know, so that's part of the difficulty finding it out, it's operating right in the very system. It's not just a bunch of weirdos operating on their own.
Right. The Catholic Church, as you know, was just removed from the United Nations. So I imagine there is going to be a lot of fallout from that. And with that fallout might come some truths to Canada as well. I'd like to see that happen, but all we have to do is put our heads together. I mean, everyone on this call and everyone in the conference that's listening, and we can give you one hell of a boost, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's good, because that, you know, it's in the mainstream areas, there's so much opposition to this, people just don't want to look at it. And there is a big move now to hold, I mean, the Catholic Church is the oldest power responsible for a lot of this stuff, and they've got a lot of money and political power and that. But right within the Catholic Church, there's a big movement to oppose this. And, for example, I was working with, just last week, with a group in Lansing, Michigan, and they've been documenting how there's this one priest who's running a mission in Guatemala, and he's trafficking children openly there. He's boasting about it on his Facebook site, and yet, you know, they're considered beyond the reach of the law in many ways. Well, a lot of the Catholics in that diocese are starting their own petition to have this guy removed and to challenge the whole policy. The child child rape is to be silenced. They want to reverse that policy out of Rome. It says,
Kevin,
that every Catholic has to
cover
it up. Yep.
We have a caller. Oh, yeah. His name is Richard from Texas. He probably has questions for you. Go ahead, Richard.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, this is one of my favorite subjects because it just sickens me that there's almost nothing other than yourself, you know, being done about this. Now, I'm a child of the 50s and the 60s, and my parents are from Alabama, and, well, you know, Martin Luther King and all of his associates, they would hook up with all of the churches. It didn't matter what the denomination was, and they would march on these criminals any way that, you know, anything is necessary, basically. They would get in the streets, and they wouldn't shut it down until pretty much they got a response. So why isn't that the response now? Because we have social media. You could get 1,000 preachers in every city to show up and basically march on these known criminals. You say you know the actual churches where it's going on. So, I mean, I would think that it would be easy to do, but all I ever hear is, well, they're 501c3, so they're not allowed to be involved. But if you remember, and I stop right here, Donald Trump made it clear when he first got in office, love him or hate him, one of the first things he said, Lyndon Johnson created the 501c3 to, in fact, silence the churches, and he said he was taking that silencer off of the churches. So why aren't the churches getting involved? That's my question. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate the question. It's a good one. That's exactly what we need, and I tried that for many years in Canada and to some degree even in the States, and you had the same fear going on because the churches tend to not to want to come out against each other. So they kind of closed ranks on this because they also knew that a lot of the churches in Canada had been involved in these crimes against the Native kids. And so right when the lawsuits began, 1996, the Catholics, the Anglicans, the United Church, they all got together, like with the Presbyterians and everything, and they got a united front going legally. So they planned their legal strategy. Everyone was silenced. The lawyers took over. It's being ruled by the lawyers and the money. And a lot of people were discontented about that, but the church leaders were telling them what to do and, you know, to silence everyone about this. So we need to reach the people in the pews. We got to reach them and get them out and saying we're not going to go along with these policies, these genocidal policies. So, yeah, that's exactly what needs to be done.
Yeah, you know, I like that answer because it pretty much exposes the entire system. But like you said, I think we need to reach into the pews and start leaving posters and flyers and mainly the social media, though. And whenever you have an event, just hit as many churches as you can and tell them if you're not working with the legal beagles, if you're not working with the 501c3 corrupt whores, then make sure you're at the event. Kind of like threaten them. Let them know that if you don't participate, then you're part of the problem. I think that's the approach we need to take. Because every time I tell my mom, get our church involved?
Oh, yes, yeah, I agree. And one thing you can do is say, we're not going to give our money to the national offices of these churches. Keep it in your congregation. Take back the power into your local congregation. We often do that. We hand out flyers to people to do that. Don't put money in the collection plate if you know it's going to leave the local community, you know.
I like that. Yeah, you put them in the purse. Because at the end of the day, like, radio stations like RBN who are struggling, most of the people that are listening, they always say they're Christians. They should be putting their money behind RBN and helping RBN and people like Frank go against these corrupt churches. I don't know why they give it to the church that won't serve their own children and their own, you know, like Alex Jones always said, they're speaking and working against their own best interests. So like you said, they should keep the money in the church, give it to RBN, people that's actually helping their kids stay safe. I'm sorry, I slipped the tongue, man. But anyway, thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Okay, brother, and write to me at thecommonland@gmail.com. I got people I know in Austin. I'm going to go speak there, so I'd love to come to Texas.
Yeah, come on down. This is a hotbed. This is Frank territory. This is John Stattmiller territory. So come on down.
All right, I will. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, Richard. Okay. That was Richard from Texas. And what I will add is the Baptist Church, when they don't like something, they march on it and tear it up. And they do, too. They are very strong, strong belief system, strong, powerful church.
Yeah, my folks actually were Baptists in England in the 1800s, and that's why we came to Canada. They weren't allowed to practice legally preaching in England, so they had to come to Canada for that freedom. So I don't know, it's an ongoing battle, isn't it?
Yeah, I've always liked Canada. It's been one of my favorite countries since I was a small boy, and I always collected the Canadian coins, and I had them everywhere. And to hear about something like this going on, it surprises me, but looking at what the year is, it doesn't surprise me, because people are taking advantage of small children all over the world. And I think they always have to a great degree, and unfortunately, we're just seeing it now. And to pick on the Native Canadian people is tantamount to, oh God, wait till some of the tribes in the U.S. hear about this, and I'm going to make sure that they do. We have a caller, Vanetta from Michigan.
Hi, Frank. Hi.
How you doing?
Hi. Okay, how you doing? And Kevin, I've been following you for a while now. Because I live right across the water from Canada. So I first heard about it on the Fifth Estate. And I started following you, and also I heard about the problems in Ireland. But with the native, with the indigenous people, two of them being removed in Canada, I used to read stories, novels written by native Canadians or First People. And they would tell these stories of the horrific things that happened. And I agree with Frank's suggestion that the tribes in the United States get wind of this, because some of the tribes here do have that monetary power, and a lot of wrong has been done. And you're right, New Mexico here, we got a problem here of missing children that is just unbelievable. But to understand that you are being heard, and I want you to know, I, for one, have been following you, and there's a lot of people following you. And if you come over to the States and really reach out to the people and get them past their ministers, and get some of these ministers, the interfaith council, to understand what's going on so they'll speak up. Because this is ridiculous, you know, what they're doing. And they're still doing it. And that's the problem, that they're still doing
it.
They're just a little bit smaller.
I couldn't believe it. When I heard this from Setsa. I could not believe it.
But I believed it because I had been reading about it, and I knew about the problem with missing women indigenous women in Canada. That's the first thing I heard about. And as more I read about them, then they start peeling the layers back and they start talking about the Indian schools, state schools in Canada. And though Canada has really had declared genocide on the First Nation. And this has been going on for like 100 years. And now, really, the natives really should, the, I keep calling them natives because I'm thinking American, but the First Nation people really should get reparations because what they did to them was unthinkable. And I even read a story about a child who was Canadian, indigenous person, that she was removed from her home and sent to a foster care program in Arkansas, and she tried to run away from them, and she got killed and raped down in Arkansas. And her parents did not find out till years later. And I heard that on the Fifth Estate. I saw it on the Fifth Estate that she was dead, and they didn't even know really when she died. It was very sad. But this goes on every day, and I do believe that it's all related because it does sound like the work of MK Ultra. And the use of people who have low political power to do their testing. And this human testing, and we have to speak up. And I really do think that the people deserve some type of reparation for what was done to them.
Do you believe that the CIA is operating secretly in Canada? I do.
Well, no. Well, I don't mean the CIA. I believe it's the RCMP and the CSI. They're just as dreaded as the CIA. I'm a little bit more familiar with Canadian politics, but they go hand in hand. But they don't let the CIA cross over because they like to maintain their control. And so, but they're just as dreaded as the CIA. They're just as dirty. They're just as underhanded. They really are.
Yeah, and that's
true. I'm sorry, Native Kevin,
America, they do know a little bit about this. I actually helped a Native group in South Dakota. They were bringing charges against the Catholic Church for same crimes, same kinds of things we documented there. It got shut down. The lawsuit got shut down by two state senators in South Dakota who protected the church, bought off the witnesses. I mean, same old story. This is about 8 years ago now. But you face the same problems, you know, in Canada or America, that the state, the church is working together to cover these things up.
Because we're locked in legal battle here in Michigan with the same problem with the Catholic Church and the history of abusive. And we're back and forth about them not being charged. You know, and I can't understand why they don't send them to jail. I don't care how old they are.
Yep.
Okay, we have very little time left. As a matter of fact.
Let me be quiet. Kevin, could you say something?
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. Write to me, thecommonland@gmail.com, murderbydecree.com. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Vanetta, and thank you, Kevin. If you'd like a second night to continue with this, you're welcome to it. I would like to say God bless everyone. And good night.
Regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon. Extend